It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, this week on Friday, he is going to be delivering what I think are going to be his indictments, the final indictments.
I would not be surprised if there were a number of indictments that still were going to come down the pike.
There are indictments in this president's future.
That's a bombshell.
The bombshell.
This bombshell.
Drop the bombshell.
Bombshell accusation.
Bombshell accusation.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
If this BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
And at that point, we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
This president needs to be impeached.
Impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't.
It's the only remedy.
The spirit of what Trump did is clearly treasonous.
This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
There's outright treason. I mean, there is no question.
I think he's feeling the noose around his neck.
The noose is tightening.
Oh. And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening.
He feels the noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The sound of hoofbeats of all those investigations catching up with Donald Trump must be loud in his ears.
He may be the first president in quite some time to face the real prospect of jail time.
People might go to jail.
You're exactly right.
For the rest of their lives.
I think they're all going to jail.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good thing.
Oh, my God.
He has no idea that he's going down.
You're confident that at least some Trump associates will wind up in jail?
If I was betting, I would say yes.
Donald Trump Jr. gave us the dots. All we have to do is to connect them to see where this is going.
Sandy Rios with you this morning. Well, that is exactly what we've been hearing for the last 2+ years. A steady drip, drip, drip. It started on Inauguration Day. I remember being there, and I remember the New York Times headline talking about the president and Russia. It started then, and it has been continuous. And so many things have happened. Lives have been ruined. People have been financially ruined. I think of Michael Flynn and his family. I think of Paul Manafort, even though whatever crimes he's committed, he should pay for, but surely not the way the authorities used all of their power to destroy him and his family. It's been a shameful thing, and that, of course, is just a bit of it. Carter Page, harassed and singled out, accused of being an agent of a foreign power. George Papadopoulos, that young guy, 24, who early on was sort of loosely affiliated with the Trump campaign and was set up, really, by the FBI in cooperation with the British agents. That phony dossier, which the FBI actually paid for part of, knowing that Christopher Steele was an unreliable British agent they've worked with before. They had actually severed their relationship with him, but suddenly he had the credibility to them. The FBI undermining the president in astonishing ways, ways that have never happened in this country. All the powers of our intelligence agencies, which are saved, wonderful tools, are to be used against the enemies of this country or people who have actually committed crimes. And instead, all those tools were turned on President Trump and his associates. They were wiretapped, as the president said early on, and he was mocked roundly for that. How dare he say, how funny. And we know now that President Obama likely knew about all of this. I can't say that for a fact, although I think it'll become pretty apparent. But we're seeing now that it looks as though the White House was briefed on all of this. And we know that much of this game was played with the Justice Department and FBI, people that were appointed by President Obama, and certainly he knew what they were doing. And so now we have this report that was delivered on Friday. And interestingly enough, there were any time a report this important and this anticipated is released on a Friday afternoon, it means there's nothing in it. This is what Washington does. Anytime they want to bury something, or if there is something really bad and something that they don't want you to know, they release it on Friday evening because reporters go home, they have weekends, they don't cover things. The news cycle changes, and by Monday, people are onto something different. So that's what happened. Plus, it's the middle of March Madness, so you didn't notice, did you, that the president was exonerated, fully exonerated on any kind of Russian collusion. The president, of course, responded. This is what he said.
So after a long look, after a long investigation, after so many people have been so badly hurt, after not looking at the other side, where a lot of bad things happened, a lot of horrible things happened, a lot of very bad things happened for our country, it was just announced there was no collusion with Russia, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction, and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration. It's a shame that our country had to go through this. To be honest, it's a shame that your president has had to go through this before I even got elected. It began. And it began illegally. And hopefully somebody's going to look at the other side. This was an illegal takedown that failed. And hopefully somebody's going to be looking at the other side. So it's complete exoneration, no collusion, no obstruction. Thank you very much.
Yeah, really interesting. You know, there was a exchange of tweets last night between Lindsey Graham and James Comey. James Comey tweeted something like this big forest and a man standing at the bottom of it saying, so many questions. Lindsey Graham responded by saying, couldn't agree more. See you soon. That was very ominous. So it sounds like the intention is to subpoena James Comey, who may be in a ton of hot water now. And he should be, because he was certainly a central player in using the authority that the people have invested into the FBI, the trust, squandering it by using it, misusing it, trying to find a crime. They're supposed to have a crime. They're supposed to be a crime before they investigate. They're not supposed to investigate and try to find wrongdoing. That is not their role. They turned all of their powers on President Trump, his associates, and his family. It's really shameful. Ari Fleischer, who was with the Bush administration, says this: now that Mueller says there was no collusion, it is time to scrutinize the Obama administration. They spied on a U.S. campaign, wiretapped Americans, bid on the dossier, and unmasked Flynn. By that, he means, of course, they completely abused. I think it was the Washington Post who released tapes of General Flynn having conversations with the Russian ambassador. How did they get that information? It's because someone in the White House, somebody in the intelligence services, leaked it to the press. That's just, if that were the only thing they did, that would be unbelievable. So Ari says, they bid on the dossier and unmasked Flynn. What did Barack Obama know, and when did he authorize it? That's what Ari Fleischer is asking, and I totally think the question is legitimate. I have so many things to share with you. I want to just give you a recap. In this report that was handed Friday, the Mueller report was handed to William Barr, the new attorney general, on Friday. William Barr spent the weekend with, of all people, Rod Rosenstein, writing the response. And when Christian Adams joins us in a few minutes, we'll talk about that. But this is what William Barr, how he summarizes in his four-page summary to the press and to Congress. He says, the report explains that he's speaking now of the Mueller report, that the special counsel and his staff thoroughly investigated allegations that members of the presidential campaign of Donald J. Trump and others associated with it conspired with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or sought to obstruct the related federal investigations. In the report, the special counsel noted that in completing his investigations, he employed 19 lawyers. By the way, remember most of them, I think almost all of them were hard left Democrats associated with Hillary Clinton. That was the stunning part of it. 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and other professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of PIN registers, made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. The cost of this is estimated somewhere around over $25 million. And, of course, we know that Mueller indicted at least three of Trump associates, but not, he charged them, but not with anything related to crimes. Like in the case of Flynn, crimes related to Russia. In the case of Flynn, he said he lied to the FBI. The FBI says he didn't lie. Then they said he did lie. I've never figured that out. And yet Flynn was bankrupted and destroyed. That is so hard to take. An American hero treated in this fashion and destroyed so thoroughly. We're going to come back to the report when Christian joins us. But I want you to know that President Trump's team is now turning the tables. According to Rudy Giuliani, they're now renewing calls to investigate the investigators. What happened here? Rudy Giuliani told Fox News an investigation should be launched into how the investigation began. He was being investigated for a crime that never happened. And so the Trump team is coming back now, doubling down. They want to know what's going to happen here. Of course, we know that the left, the Democrats, are not going to let this go. And if you don't believe that, here's a montage from yesterday's news. Let's listen.
And now let's look at all the investigations that are still out there. There were 17 of them. Robert Mueller's was just one of them. There's one into WikiLeaks. There's Middle Eastern influence. There's Paul Manafort stuff. There's the Trump Tower. It's on and on and on. It's 17 investigations.
And we know, of course, that the Democrats in Congress are also doing their own investigations.
There are 47 different investigations out there.
You know, the Trump Inauguration Committee is being investigated.
There are other Trump-related investigations still open in other parts of the Justice Department, namely in the Southern District of New York, not to mention investigations by House committees, which are now controlled by Democrats. 16 other investigations happening, so I think it's important that we just keep paying attention to it.
This is not the only investigation that is going forward. The House Intelligence Committee, the Judiciary Committee continue their investigations. The Southern District of New York continues its investigation.
Our American Congress does not need the Mueller report, Joy, as a permission slip to continue investigating Donald Trump.
All right, you've heard enough. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And Breitbart has printed a list of the 10 propagandists who pushed the Russian collusion hoax. Of course, there's more than 10, but they list 10. And CNN is, of course, the first. It's the first that reported that President Trump was briefed on the P dossier, which prompted BuzzFeed to publish the dossier. CNN has given vast amounts of airtime to analysts, former officials, Democratic lawmakers pushing the Russian collusion, published a number of stories that advanced the narrative, several that were false. BuzzFeed was the first to publish that P dossier. If you haven't read, I read it to you way back when it first broke. I said to you, this is ridiculous. This can't be true. This is like tabloid, ridiculous reporting. And yet they published it. The Washington Post was in the forefront of publishing anonymously sourced stories suggesting collusion. All about Flynn. They're the ones that unveiled what Flynn said in this information that was fed to them from our intelligence sources. The New York Times published a front page, top of the page story on Inauguration Day suggesting that President Trump's associates had been wiretapped. Adam Schiff said there was evidence hiding in plain sight. I could go on and on. Benjamin Witz, a close journalist to former director James Comey, fed things to the media. And so Hillary Clinton is a long list. But now the president has been exonerated. What does that mean and what does it not mean? J. Christian Adams coming up next.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe,
shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Vice President Mike Pence. The Vice President serves at the pleasure of the President, and oftentimes in his shadow. This requires a great deal of humility, not to mention a servant's heart. Matthew 20:28 reminds us of the importance of serving others. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to bless Vice President Pence as he serves our president and the American people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Pets come in all sizes. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Petco, the national pet store chain, has an all-pets welcome policy, provided Fido and Fluffy are on a leash. So the other day, Vincent Browning of Houston, Texas, decided to test the store policy. He showed up to do some shopping with his beloved pet, Oliver, a 1,600-pound African Watusi. Now, you might think that Petco would have a beef with a bull that size, hooves and horns and whatnot, but the rule is the rule. So the staff gave Oliver a super-sized welcome. That's right, they let the giant steer mosey into the store. Some staffers even posed for photos. Now, Oliver is something of a local celebrity. He also has his own Facebook page, 37,000 followers. So here's a 10-gallon salute to the staff of Petco in Houston, Texas, for taking it all in stride and not having a cow. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Do you still believe the president could be a Russian asset?
I think it's possible. I think that's why we started our investigation, and I'm really anxious to see where Director Mueller concludes that.
More and more, I come to the conclusion that after the Helsinki performance and since, that I really do wonder whether the Russians have something on him.
I use the term that this is nothing short of treasonous, because it is a betrayal of the nation. He is giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
Wow, so that's the heads of some of the major intelligence agencies filling us in on the criminal activity of Donald Trump with Russia. All false, all a false narrative. All of them cooperated with establishing this false narrative. We know now it was not true. Many of us knew it wasn't true already, but now Bob Mueller, who is, you know, the Pope of investigators, has declared it so. And so it happened over the weekend. The Attorney General William Barr has released this letter, which we started to talk about, but I can't think of anyone I'd rather talk to about this with expertise much greater than mine. That's a former Justice Department official, Christian Adams. Christian, thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Sandy.
You know, without asking you a specific question, let me just ask you, Christian, what did you think of what you read from William Barr so far? What are your thoughts?
Well, it is depressing in the sense that we've had to go through this two-year mass hysteria event, that nothing happened, there was no collusion, and the country has been dragged through this divisive mess, and people, Democrats in Congress, Democrats on CNN, they really have joined the ranks of the great propagandists in world history that built an entire narrative on the foundation of a lie. And, you know, you didn't think it could happen in the United States, but it does. It does. And that should trouble people that mass hysteria is possible in this country based on a total falsehood. And that's really the sobering fact of all of this.
You know what's really ironic? It just strikes me as you were talking, Christian, when I was growing up, we were very keenly aware of the Soviet Union, of the propaganda, the Pravda, the Radio Moscow, you know, the way people's minds were shaped, the fact that they were shut off from information. And then when I actually went to Russia just after Boris Yeltsin was elected, and it was right before the Soviet Union broke up, I had so many interviews with Russians who were stunned to be hearing what was actually true about everything, about the whole world, everything. They were stunned by truth. And yet, what's been happening is similar to that. We've had our own Pravda, our own, you know, Radio Moscow. We've had all of these media sources lying to the American people, affecting polls, affecting the way they think. We see that they have accused the president of Russian collusion while they have employed Soviet methods to control the minds of Americans. It's a pretty stunning thing.
Well, it's like Comrade Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. For 2 years, we've been subjected to this narrative that the election was illegitimate, which is, by the way, very corrosive to democracy. These folks claim that they're fans of democracy. They're not. They're fans of power. Power is what intoxicates them. And if they have to lie to get it, oh, who cares? I mean, that's just borrowing the oldest trick in the playbook. So we've been subjected to this two-year narrative, this narrative that the election was illegitimate, the president is a criminal, his family will be arrested, total delegitimization. And they used to complain that conservatives like you and me would go on the radio to criticize Obama policies, right? Like, that was the you're trying to delegitimize President Obama because you don't like national health care. Well, this was different. This was, he is a criminal, he should be in jail, he didn't win the election.
It was stunning, and it started on the inauguration, at least it started publicly during the inauguration. I will never forget it, Christian, but I want to talk to you about a couple of really important matters that we need to kind of work through. We know that on the issue of collusion, which was never a crime anyway, the president has been exonerated. But on the second issue, which is, okay, interesting, we don't really know what Robert Mueller was tasked with doing, but we know from his own words now, he saw it in two prongs: Russian collusion and obstruction of justice over the firing of his good buddy James Comey. And so on the issue of obstruction of justice, Barr's little letter yesterday says the special counsel therefore did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. I heard Alan Dershowitz yesterday on Fox talk about the cowardice of Robert Mueller not to reach a conclusion on that. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, you know, it's probably personal in the sense of the president wouldn't kowtow to their demands for interviews. The president fired James Comey. The president had the audacity to go straight to the American people via social media and attack this notion that he committed obstruction. And then they tried to claim that that was, in fact, obstruction. That's how insane this was. This was a mass hysteria event. I'm reminded, you know, Sandy, there's a story about the Millerites. Some of your listeners may know this. There was this mass hysteria event in the 1840s where this religious group said that the world was going to end on October 22nd, 1844. And everybody started believing it. They sold all their belongings. They prepared for the rapture. And it was a mass hysteria event. It never occurred. And it reminds me of that. You know, suddenly everybody's looking very stupid who was alleging that the president committed obstruction or committed collusion. And it's just, it's so sad, because I don't think it could have happened in this country even 20 years ago. This is new territory where the deep state tries to delegitimize an election, and then the crazies on the extreme, 50% of them almost, fall into this stupor where they think it's true and it's not.
Yeah. And when you poll the American people, I think last poll I saw something like 65, something like that, percent of the Americans polled believe that there was collusion with Russia by the Trump administration. That's how successful this propaganda has been. But on the seriously, now back to this obstruction. I know that Mueller, according to Barr, Mueller in his report did not reach a conclusion on that. He's leaving it up to William Barr and I guess to the Democrats in the House to decide. But has William Barr settled that matter by his response, public response?
Well, you can imagine it's not going to get off the starting line inside the Justice Department. It's a non-starter that there's no obstruction of justice. And you have this crazy extremist view of what is obstruction coming out of MSNBC and Adam Schiff and the lunatics all the Soros groups. And it's basically, if the president has an opinion, if the president says anything, if the president makes any personnel changes, that's obstruction. They have a crazed interpretation of what obstruction is. That is a non-starter with rational lawyers who are running the Justice Department, and therefore I think we're pretty much at the end of the line on that lie.
You know, we should just for drop in just for a minute to give people a frame of reference. One of the things that they accused President Trump of obstructing justice on was this comment he made to James Comey, as Comey was leaving, about Michael Flynn. And basically he said something like, I hope you can see fit to go back off on Michael Flynn. He's really a good guy. Something like that. I mean, that's what they call obstruction. Is that obstruction, Christian, for the president to say that?
Of course not, and don't forget, the president can pardon Michael Flynn. So it's pretty hard for the man who has absolute power under the Constitution to absolve anybody of any federal crime to commit obstruction. I mean, it's hard for him to obstruct when he has the absolute pardon power in the Constitution. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Constitution itself is a barrier to this ridiculous obstruction narrative.
Yeah. All right. So now we have the allusion also in this Mueller report, and by Barr's own words, is there are all these other investigations pending. And I know the Southern District of New York is probably the epicenter of this. And I've heard you say, Christian, I get the impression that the Southern District of New York is kind of like the Ninth Circuit Court in terms of its rogue nature. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, it's not as much rogue as it is. It thinks it's its own constitutional article office. It's like Article 10 of, you know, the Constitution is the Southern District. They think they're like a U.S. Attorney's office unto themselves. They think they're special, that kind of stuff. And so, no doubt that there's going to be people inside that office who try to, you know, keep this dead horse alive and apply, you know, the paddles to the Mueller investigation, shock everybody clear, boom, let's try to resurrect this investigation. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Now, I'm curious about the pecking order here, because I do know for a fact that sometimes investigations are squashed for various reasons, whether it's the FBI or the Justice Department. It's arbitrary. Sometimes they go forward, sometimes they don't. You know a lot about that. Does the new Attorney General have any kind of control over what the Southern District of New York, they are under his jurisdiction, about what they go proceed with?
Of course. The Attorney General could call up the U.S. Attorney in the Southern District this afternoon this morning after listening to your show and say, hey, no more, we're done, it's over with. Now, what, of course, will happen if he were to do that is that all the lefties inside the Southern District would immediately call their buddies at the New York Times, as they have done many times in the past, and leak the fact that the Attorney General did that. And so that is what is preventing, in large measure, that from happening. is the fact that the Southern District will retaliate through their friends in the media if the Trump administration attempts to do that.
Well, there are other pending investigations. And what, many of the things that we would really like to know about, you know, I don't want to get into that with you because I want to ask you something else that's more important for this moment. The release of the Mueller report in its entirety, you know that that's very controversial. And I hear, you know, people that I trust saying different things about this. The president has it in his power to do that. And probably a lot of it will be leaked anyway. But how do you see that, Christian? Do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, that's a great question. And I generally am against releasing it because it has grand jury testimony in it. And that is something we tend to try to protect at all costs because for a variety of reasons. The crazies, of course, will claim that any failure to release means that there's a conspiracy. They will don their tinfoil hats and tell us all the things that are in the report that really aren't in the report. So there's an advantage to releasing it, and that is to make the crazies go away. But on the other hand, not releasing it is in line with the long tradition of grand jury testimony being kept secret.
What do you think in your imagination, what do you think we might learn? What are the kinds of things we might learn if the whole thing was released that we don't know?
Right. Well, I want to see the authorization memo from Rod Rosenstein that authorized this whole investigation. Did he commit people to an open-ended, undefined investigation that, by the way, apparently had no criminal predicate, right? When the FBI investigates things, normally you cite a statute, a law, that says this is the law that you should be investigating as to whether or not it was broken. And as far as we know, there's nothing cited in the authorization memorandum by Rod Rosenstein. That would be a departure. I'd like to know about the FISA warrants. Remember, this whole thing, I started the top of the segment with, it was built on a lie. Well, the dossier was the lie that this entire Mueller investigation was built on, this crazed lunatic fiction piece that was written by Christopher Steele, who's a hack, and his wife is involved in this too, because they're pals with Bruce Orr, and they've been colluding with the Holder leftovers and the Holder administration going on 12 years now. And so all of this is interesting, would be disclosed if everything was released. That's probably the other big payoff besides making the crazies calm down if, in fact, the whole report was released.
It is interesting, you know, that the House of Representatives voted almost 100%, I think, four abstentions, four Republican abstentions, I don't know who they were, last week to release the thing in full. And certainly Devin Nunes is pushing for it. And I guess if he's pushing for it, I would have to be in favor of that, too, because we know that he knows a lot that he can't talk about. And so, and he has certainly personally paid the price for this mess, Christian. He's
well,
one of the many.
I normally trust Devin Nunes too, but here's the thing that I think Republicans always underestimate. They always underestimate. And that's the tactical superiority of the Democrats in Congress to outmaneuver them and sucker punch them without warning. And what will happen is if that gets released, you will find selective extraction of quotes that people like Gerald Nadler and Adam Schiff will use to say that, in fact, they were correct all along because every Justice Department report has mitigating language in it. It always has something in it that's a bone to the other side.
Hey, Christian,
and so what will happen if it gets released is
I have to interrupt
that language will be exploited by the Democrats.
Okay,
and the Republicans who you trust will not be capable in deflecting the tactical outmaneuver.
Christian, I don't want to spring this on you, but you want to stay with me just a few more minutes. Would you be able to?
Alrighty.
Okay, all right. Well, you can be mad at me later off the air. You can tell me I shouldn't have done that. But there's a few things. It would just be great to just pass some other issues. My desk is full of information this morning. I'd love to know your thoughts. My guest is Christian Adams, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. an 8-year-old Nigerian refugee, is now the New York State chess champion for his age bracket. Tani Toluwa Edewumi, who goes by Tani, placed first in the New York State Scholastic Championships, beating out competitors from elite private schools. Incredibly, Tani only began learning chess about a year ago, after his family fled northern Nigeria to escape Islamic attacks on Christians. Following his introduction to chess, his instructor saw Tani was a once-in-a-generation talent, and he wants to be the youngest grandmaster.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian will tell us what he's interested in, and Brian's interested in about everything. There's not a story out there that he does not see through a biblical lens. It's not finding content for the program. It's finding which content would be best for that day.
Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays at 1 Central on AFR.
Brian walks into the studio with a stack of papers ready to tackle the issues of the day.
The border, the border, the border.
Sandy Rios.
I think President Trump was very eloquent, and he said it's not that we hate people on the other side, it's that we love those inside the wall. It's not Trump's wall. It's not Trump's wall. That's what the left wants to say. That's what the papers want to say. That's what even Fox says. It's a wall to protect us. Why is that so hard?
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. In a well-intentioned but utterly foolish overreaction to the mosque massacre in New Zealand, the Prime Minister is calling for everyone, men and women alike, to wear the hijab. She is also broadcasting the Muslim call to prayer over the entire country. How should Christians respond? First, they must not bow the knee to Baal by putting on the hijab, which is a symbol of submission to Allah. Secondly, they should take the call to prayer as a call to arms to go to war in the spirit against the demon god Allah and the spiritual deception of Islam. Almost 2 billion people worldwide have come under its spell, which can only be broken in the name of Jesus. It's time for all of New Zealand's Christians to put on the full armor of God and use the weapons of our warfare to assault this demonic stronghold.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Now that President Trump has effectively been exonerated by Special Counsel Robert Mueller of the charge that he and or his campaign colluded with Russia, our national attention must turn to another far more dangerous and increasingly aggressive enemy, Communist China. To encourage and inform the needed focused effort to understand and counter the myriad threats posed by the Chinese Communist Party and the country it misrules, several dozen national security practitioners, China experts, business leaders, and human rights and religious freedom activists have come together to form the Committee on the Present Danger, China. 4 decades ago, another such committee helped Ronald Reagan defeat the previous totalitarian communist government that sought our destruction, the Soviet Union. Ours launches today determined to help President Trump do the same with respect to the present Chinese danger of our time. This is Frank Gaffney. Learn more at presentdangerchina.org.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and a pleasure it is, especially, actually, this is really good news. It is good news. Even if it only lasts 24 hours, it's good news. And certainly we know that the left will be looking for ways to jam the television airwaves and print media with as much disparagement of President Trump as they possibly can, because the 2020 election is coming up, and this is not going to stop them. But it hopefully, God willing, will get into the DNA of the American people, and they will understand that President Trump was telling the truth repeatedly when he said there is no collusion with Russia. This is a lie. It's a witch hunt. There's no collusion with Russia. Robert Mueller didn't call it a witch hunt, but he agreed with President Trump in his report that was delivered to William Barr on Fridays. My guest is Christian Adams. Christian was a whistleblower at the Justice Department over the new Black Panther behavior at a polling place during the 2008 election, I think it was. And so Christian has written so many articles, and he has been the leading warrior on voter integrity and other matters since he left the Justice Department. He founded the Public Interest Legal Foundation, which has just done, he's like a one-man wonder. And if you are happy or concerned about voter integrity, you have J. Christian Adams to thank for all that he's done on our behalf in that area. So it's publicinterestlegal.org, by the way. Christian, there are a lot of remaining questions, and I'm so glad you stayed with me. I was just mentioning, before you join me, Katie Pavlik is talking about new communications between Lisa Page and Andrew McCabe, indicating that the White House under Obama, an indication now. This is not hard, fast proof. It's an indication that the Obama White House knew exactly what was going on. Ari Fleischer tweeted just yesterday, now that Mueller says there was no collusion, it's time to scrutinize the Obama administration. They spied on a U.S. campaign, wiretapped Americans, bid on the dossier, and unmasked Flynn. What did Barack Obama know, and when did he authorize it? Powerful stuff. I'd like to know what you think about that, Christian.
Well, I've long thought that this is where the genesis was of the entire Mueller investigation. It was the radicals inside the Obama administration who greenlighted, greenlight is the key word, opening up an investigation of the Trump campaign and Trump campaign officials. And when you read the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok email exchanges, which, by the way, are truly must-read material for anybody who wants to understand how individual bureaucrats can use their misconduct and petty power to advance a leftist narrative. When you see things in those emails talking about White House meetings and awareness at the White House in some semblance of what they're doing, it's chilling because, I mean, it sounds like something out of a novel where White House officials are greenlighting these investigations and are aware of them, and I'm sure smiling. And don't forget, there was all the unmasking with Susan Rice, where they were making public, not public, but in the government essentially public, disseminating the names of targets of secret FISA warrant wiretaps to a broad array of Justice Department people, all of whom, by the way, were essentially Democrats or left-leaning, and therefore making it more likely that this stuff was going to be leaked, which is exactly what happened, is we heard leaks regarding who were the people being targeted. So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all that Katie's right, that this had its genesis in the Obama administration.
You know, and as an aside, we talked about the release, the full release of the Mueller report a few minutes ago. One of the things, of course, that would be released or that people are asking for is the unredacted version of those email exchanges between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And as I said, Katie Pavlik is talking about email or text between Lisa Page and Andrew McCabe. So so much of that is so heavily redacted. So you know that what's redacted is got to be worse than what we actually know.
Of course it is. And don't forget, they're all just the tone of these things. They're all speaking in such informal tones where they refer to Andy and popping on by, and I saw him just a few minutes. It's all very chummy. And to think that the acting head of the FBI, or the number two guy at the FBI, was so chummy with such malcontents and miscreants like Lisa Strzok, or Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, is also disturbing. They all seem to be hanging out together, working on this project.
You know, Kimberly Strassel had an interesting article that you probably saw, where she talks about James Baker's testimony is now being made public before Congress, and it sort of contradicts James Comey. James Comey says that he sort of pretends like the FBI didn't really know who James Simpson or Glenn Simpson was and who Christopher Stowe, you know, we didn't care who it came from. We don't know much. And now we know that Baker tells them a lot about how the FBI got the dossier and how at least so many people were passing it to them, including an operative with the DNC to Mr. Baker. Plus, he talks about how David Korn of Mother Jones was a longtime friend of FBI's former general counsel, David Korn. You know, he's a radical leftist, and he passed it to James Baker for the FBI.
Right, and look, there's an untold story here that I haven't had time to write about. I guess we can talk about it now on your show for the first time. Glenn Simpson's wife is a woman named Mary Jacoby. Mary Jacoby, at the beginning of the Obama administration, set up this propaganda website called Maine Justice. And the purpose of Maine Justice was to be closely integrated with the Obama holder Justice Department and spin everything they're doing in a positive light. Now, it's since shut down because it was barely read and couldn't make money. But Mary Jacoby, who's married to Glenn Simpson, was the number one outsourced defender of all of the elite holder Obama lawyers at DOJ. And so she ran this essentially a PR firm, an external PR firm, defending all of these people. And she became very, very chummy with people inside DOJ, and it would certainly explain the close chummy relationship between her husband, Glenn Simpson, at Fusion GPS, and Bruce Orr inside the Deputy Attorney General's office, who was allowing this garbage to occur. Because remember, they were the propaganda wing for the Holder Justice Department for almost 8 years with their website, Maine Justice.
You know, I just have to add that Diana West was my guest last Friday, and she has explored Nellie Orr's past. Nellie, of course, is Bruce Orr's wife. Bruce is the one Christian just mentioned who was a third in command, I think, at Justice. His wife, Nellie, has a very interesting past, Christian, and, of course, her ties. She ended up studying in Russia in the 1990s, early 90s, when hardly anybody got to do that. She had access to files. And Diana makes the case that there were some concerning ties with Nellie Orr and Russia itself. And that's just another string in this that makes it so ironic that the Russian collusion, I maintain, is likely, I would say more than likely, on the other side. We know Hillary Clinton's collusion with them was incredible. And so this is what the left always does. They always accuse us of doing what they're doing. And we just have to come to grips with that. That it's to throw people off of actually figuring out what they're doing. They accuse President Trump and his team of colluding with the Russians when they were actually the ones who were doing that. There's one irony here that I have to hear. Rod Rosenstein, who we're not, I'll just say I'm not happy with his behavior, very upset. He's the one that talked about wearing a wire and trying to trap the president, and yet he remains at Justice. Ironically, he was the one who worked with William Barr to read this Robert Mueller report, and to, I guess, prepare this report from William Barr over the weekend. What's that all about, Christian?
Well, he was overseeing the investigation, so it's pretty hard to exclude him if you're not going to fire him, which, you know, a lot of people said should have been done months ago. So because he's there, you know, he's the DAG, and he's a deputy attorney general, and unless you're going to get rid of the guy, he's obviously going to be involved in the process.
Okay, well, let's talk about the effect on other people. I just read this morning the response of, where is it? Oh, Mitch McConnell. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just read a little bit of it to you. The special counsel's conclusions confirm the president's account that there was no effort by his campaign to conspire or coordinate with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 presidential election. However, Russia's ongoing efforts to interfere with our democracy are dangerous and disturbing, and I welcome the special counsel's contributions to our efforts to understand better Russia's activities in this regard, and I look forward to the continuing work of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence on the threats posed to our democratic institutions by foreign interference. That's code to me. I just want to know what you think about that statement.
Well, what the statement does is recognize something that's been going on for over 80 years, and that's Moscow attempting to influence domestic policy in the United States. It's nothing new. It was very successful in the 30s. Anybody who has studied the Roosevelt administration knows how successful that was, particularly in the Agriculture Department secretary. But it also went on in the 60s and 70s and 80s, where Moscow was attempting to influence American domestic policy through various means, propaganda, front groups, manipulation of the media, manipulation of public opinion. They were very effective at it in the early years of Ronald Reagan, particularly around the Pershing missile buildup. So this is just absolutely nothing new that Moscow has been doing since Stalin had the ability to project in the early 30s, and it's just continuing, and we shouldn't be surprised by it. We should take measures to counter it, but it shouldn't shock anybody. I guess the Democrats are late to the game in understanding this. They weren't very incensed by this in the early 1980s. As a matter of fact, Ron Dellums, congressman from California, traipsed off to Havana, Cuba in the 1980s to tell us how great it was in under communism. So, you know, sometimes they're the useful idiots, and now suddenly they're worried about Russian interference in our domestic policies.
You know what I took this as? Thanks for filling in those blanks, Christian, but the way I took this, because I'm cynical, you see, is that Mitch McConnell feels the need to cover for his United States Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, which is headed by Richard Burr, and Mark Warner of Virginia, who also played a very bad hand in this whole Russian collusion, as far as I'm concerned, and there's proof about that. I think he's covering for them. He's got to cover for his own committee, who complied and helped and kind of pushed this narrative along and sort of did it happily, from my perspective. And so what do you think is going to happen to the never-Trumpers, or what should happen to them from your perspective, Christian, like the Bill Kristols and all the others who pushed this narrative as much as anybody on the left?
I'm so glad you asked that. I was on Fox yesterday, on Fox and Friends, and I said there has to be a reckoning. They're their own version of useful idiots. You know, useful idiots is a term where the left, they find people who will do the bidding that probably shouldn't be opening their mouths. And the conservative, purported conservatives like Bill Kristol, fall into that category. And there needs to be a reckoning. Remember, these are the people who for the last 2 years have been showing up on CNN and MSNBC, some of them write in National Review to tell us about how serious this investigation is. Mueller needs to be left alone. Collusion by Trump is a threat to our institutions. Oh, blah, 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 blah. They basically took the side of the far-left extremist lunatics and gave them cover by appearing on national media as conservative critics of President Trump. And so, you know, they really, really need to be marginalized and ridiculed and called out for the damage that they contributed to this campaign to undermine the 2016 election.
You know, you wonder how they proceed from here, because this isn't going to change their mind about Donald Trump. It's not like even the members of the Senate who continued to warn President Trump he'd better not fire Mueller. Mueller's such an impeccable man of character. How dare he even think about doing that? And the warnings were regular, and I think the establishment in the Senate was doing that too. So this is not going to change their mind about President Trump. Just 15 seconds here. What do you think, Christian, their response is going to be, really? Are they going to go under, or what are they going to do?
No, they'll just find a new thing to complain about, like President Trump uses Twitter. That'll be they'll go back to basics.
Okay, on that happy note, we say goodbye, but it is a good day for all of us, for the nation, maybe to have some relief from this. I think even Rolling Stone will be happy, because they've talked about it before, about how out of control and ridiculous it's gotten. Christian Adams, our guest, publicinterestlegal.org, Public Interest Legal Foundation. Christian, thanks for joining me. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.